It says follow peace. This is key. Anything that the enemy is feeding into you to not be in a state of peace is ever the enemy is doing to make certain that you're not ready for the next move. Together, it says follow peace with all men and what? Holiness. Those two things without which no man shall what? See the Lord. If you are going to see the Lord, then you're going to see what he's doing so that you can do what he's doing in the earth, because that is where the power is. Hallelujah. Follow peace and holiness, without which no man can see the Lord. How appropriate. This is November. It's the one month that starts out with no. And that means no sickness, no disease, no fear, no doubt, no confusion. Only the goodness of the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, this month we're eating the fruit of goodness, the goodness of the Lord. And I want to explore some of that with us this morning. The Word of God says in Psalm 23 and verse 6, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely, somebody say with me, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Do you believe that? What does it say? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So as long as you live, you should have two things. What two things? Goodness and mercy. Did you know that that's always been the plan of God for you and for me? For his goodness and mercy to abound towards us. It's always been the plan. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, chapter 3 and verse 5, it makes a striking statement. It says, this is when the devil was tempting them to eat of the fruit that God said, don't eat of. Right? It says, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as what? You shall be as what? As gods. And as gods, you will do what? You will know good and evil. Did you see that? The devil says, God is tricking you. He doesn't want you to be like him. He doesn't want you to be like a god. Because if you eat this fruit that is telling you not to eat, you're going to be like gods. And you're going to know good and evil. Now, that must mean, if there's any element of truth to that, we know that there's a lie to that, but if there's any element of truth to that, it must mean then that God knew good and evil. And if the devil says, if you eat of this fruit, you're going to know good and evil, and God says, don't eat it, then it must mean that God did not mean for them to know what? Good and evil. Can we accept that? Now, what is the evil that God doesn't want them to experience? If God experienced evil, what evil does God not want them to experience? It is the evil of disappointment. Let me say that again. It's the evil of disappointment. What kind of disappointment? That you give so much to somebody and they betray you. How did he experience that? He gave so much to Lucifer, and Lucifer betrayed him. God doesn't want you and I to do so much good and get evil in return. Are we together? He doesn't want you to invest so much and not get a good return. He doesn't want you to give and not receive the response of goodness back to you. So he says, I don't want you to eat that, because if you eat of that fruit, evil is going to come into your life. The angelic forces had seen evil happen. God did not want you and I to ever experience that. And so he extended his goodness towards us, and also the flip side of goodness is mercy. In essence, God wanted for you and I to always have mercy flowing in our lives. May that be our portion right now. Amen? The mercy of God. The mercy of God. The mercy of God. Moses said to God, God, I've been around you, but I've not really seen your glory. I want to see you. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 33, Exodus chapter 33, beginning to read from, I'll take it from verse 18 and 19. He says, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. God, please, show me your glory. And God is responding, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. Now, he's going to expound on that, and we're going to find out that the glory that the man was asking for was in that goodness of God. He says, I will make all my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will speak my name before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. I have a place by my side, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. There is a place by me. Say, there is a place by me. And thou shalt stand upon a rock. The Bible tells us that Jesus is that rock. and Jesus is the one that is beside him. So when God says, behold, there is a place by me, he's talking about Jesus. He says, and it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, while my glory passeth by. Let's go back. While my glory passeth by. What does it say in verse 19? He said, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. So therefore, all of his goodness passing before Moses was that glory. Praise the Lord. He says, you cannot see my face, because if you see my face, you're going to die. But guess what? In Jesus Christ, we are called to behold his face, and we are being changed into that same glory. So, the goodness of God, if the goodness of God is the glory of God, as we behold the goodness of God, we will be changed into that same goodness. Are we together so far? So the goodness that you experience in your life is the goodness that you are beholding in the face of God. Remember, I don't want you to see evil. So if sickness is evil, then that's not what God wants me to see. He wants me to see divine health. He wants me to see strength, not weakness. He wants me to see peace, not trouble. He wants me to see joy, not sadness. Are we together? Where? When we stand by him on the rock. Wow. Verse 21 again. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a clift of the rock. The clift of the rock. That's Jesus. What is the clift of the rock? What's a clift? The space. That is when you are in Christ. That's when you're in the clift of the rock. If any man be in Christ, that man becomes a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What all things are passed away? The old sinful ways are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's the righteousness of God. You're clothed with the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Hallelujah. He says, now take away mine hand and thou shalt see my back parts. But my face shall not be seen. This is what he said to Moses. And the result of Moses seeing the backside of the Lord is he writes five books. Genesis, Exodus, everything. He saw everything that happened and begins to jot down in the beginning and tells us how God created everything and how we are here today. If God could do such an extraordinary work with a man who saw the rod in his hand stretch forth and the sea is parted, what will God do with us now? who behold his face and are being changed into the same glory. Moses saw the backside of God and his face got lit up. What will happen if we see him? The Bible says, when we see him, we shall find out that we are exactly like he is. God wants you and I empowered to receive this power of his goodness, so that all we look for every day of our life is goodness. Something good is going to happen in my life today. And not only will something good happen to me, I am going to be the manifestation of goodness. Hallelujah. Will you say that with me? I am the manifestation of the goodness of God. Somebody says you are what you eat. Well, eat the fruit of goodness and be goodness. Somebody shout hallelujah. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. Exodus 34 and verse 6. It says, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in what? Goodness and truth. The Lord God, merciful. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. God was proclaiming himself. As he passed by, God was speaking his name, because nobody else is worthy of calling his name like he can. When we praise God, are you ready for this? When we praise God and worship God in spirit and in truth, it is how God is seeing himself. And when we tap into what God is saying about himself, we begin to praise God. Praise and worship is not about us talking about us. It's about magnifying the awesomeness of God. And in the magnification of the awesomeness of God, miracles happen, the manifestation of his will and his word begins to happen in the natural. People get healed, people get delivered, abundance comes into people's lives because we are magnifying him. We are saying what he's saying about himself. Now, watch this. What are you saying about yourself? You say, where are you going with this? Just hold on. If you're created in his image and likeness, then whatever it is that you're saying about yourself is what you are saying about him. Hello? If you and I are created in his image and likeness, whatever it is that we're saying about ourselves is what we're saying about him, because we are like him. So when I'm saying I am broke, what am I saying? I'm saying that he is what? Broke. And if he's broke, he cannot supply my needs. Because a broke God cannot supply anything. Because he's broke, he's begging. But when I see that he's a good God and that all he has is abundance, I begin to declare abundance in my life because he has abundance. Praise the Lord. As he is, so are we. Where? In this world. Is that what the word of God says? As he is, so are we. It says that in the scriptures. As he is, so shall we be. Is that what it says? So what have we when we get to heaven in this world? Wow. Herein is our love made what? Perfect. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. We are what in this world now? We are what? Perfect. Herein is our love made perfect. We are the manifestation of love. Because God is what? Love. And love is perfected in us. So that we have boldness in the day of judgment. We are not scared of the presence of God. We are very aware of the fact that he's holy, that he's altogether good. And what do we say about ourselves? I'm good. Well, the Bible says, a man said to Jesus, good master. And he said, nobody is good but what? God. Is that what he said? But then in the book of James, it says, every good and perfect gift proceeds from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us. In essence, he was saying that what he, Jesus, did not lay claim to, because he did not want man to be confused, he said, only God is good. He then goes around and says, well, guess what? You are good. Because you came out of the Father of lights. You are good. He said, but you said, only God is good. He said, yeah. Because you are God. You are the manifestation of my goodness. Only goodness and mercy. Why goodness and mercy? Because, yes, you may fall flat on your face, and God extends mercy and sees not evil. He says, I have mercy on you. You are blessed. You are hidden in the cleft of the rock. You are standing on the rock beside me. Only that which is holy can stay with me. And therefore, I declare you holy. I declare you blessed. I declare you strong. I declare you prosperous. I declare abundance in your life. That's what God sees. And that's how you and I must see ourselves in him. Because you are being changed into the same glory. From glory to glory. Yes? Do you receive that? Now back to Exodus 34. He says, the Lord is going to pass before you and he's going to proclaim the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and in mercy. There is abundant goodness, abundant mercy. When you use the statement abundant, you're talking about more than enough. Amen? If you don't have abundance, or you cannot use the word abundance, it's because you have a shortage. If I said, I'm going to give everybody here $1 million, praise the Lord. I say, here's your $1 million. And there's two other people that just showed up. And I check my pocket, and I don't have any for them. I did not have abundant. But after giving everybody $1 million, and 1 million other people showed up, and I still had 1 million to give to them, I have abundance. Are we together? Abundance means that you have more than enough to meet the required needs. And God's word says, I have abundant goodness, and I have abundant mercy. So if you mess up, not because you're practicing messing up, the mercy of God is available to restore, because He doesn't want you to experience evil. He doesn't want you to face disappointment. He doesn't want you to face shame. He doesn't want you to face defeat. He wants you to experience His goodness. And the Word of God says He's abundant in goodness and mercy and truth. Keeping mercy, watch this, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. And that will by no means clear the guilty. Now, what does that mean, by no means clear the guilty? If He has mercy, He has forgiveness for iniquity and transgression and sin, what does it mean that will by no means clear the guilty? The person that is forgiven is guilty. What do you mean shall by no means clear the guilty? He's saying this mercy, this forgiveness that you are experiencing is not because somebody did not pay the price. But guess who's going to pay the price? I am going to pay the price, because you are not cleared of being guilty. I am taking the guilt. I don't know if you understand it. So by me taking the punishment, you have taken the punishment. Watch this. The Bible says that you and I were crucified where? With. Someone say with. Say it again, with Christ. So when Jesus was dying on the cross, paying for your sin, guess what God was saying? You were dying with me, paying for your sin. Oh, come on. But I wasn't on the cross. But by faith, I am there with Him. And by so doing, when He went to hell, I went to hell too. Is this too much for you this morning? It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It is Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I died with Him. When He was raised from the dead, I rose again with Him. When He ascended into the heavens, I ascended with Him. When He sat down at the right hand of the Father, I sat down with Him. Where? Far above principalities, far above powers, far above the rulers of the darkness of this world, far above all spiritual wickedness. The goodness of God was made manifest in my life. Today, tap into that goodness and say, it's mine. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, God is good. In Psalm 25, actually, before I go to Psalm 25, Psalm 31 and verse 19 talks about this abundance. Psalm 31 and verse 19. It says, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear you. The goodness of God is laid up, piled up, for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Who is it that enjoys this goodness? People who are bold enough to talk about the goodness of God in their lives. The more you talk about the goodness of God, the more He brings goodness into your life. That's why it's powerful. It's needful for you and I to testify, have a testimony to share about this goodness of God. How abundant, how great is thy goodness? See that word, oh, how great is thy goodness? That word great there is the word that can also be translated as abundance. Oh, how abundant is thy goodness. Psalm 65 and verse 11. Psalm 65 and verse 11. It says, thou crownest the year with thy what? Goodness, and thy paths drop fatness or prosperity. God crowns our year with His goodness, and our paths drop fatness. Dripping fatness. Prosperity. You're walking on prosperity. So the word of God says to us, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34 and verse 8. Psalm 34 and verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Blessed with what? Abundance of goodness. Peter repeats this same statement in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3. 1 Peter 2 and verse 3. He says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is what? Gracious. He says, I'm going to be gracious to whom I'm going to be gracious, and merciful to whomever it is I'm going to be merciful. Because I'm going to show them my goodness. Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? That He's merciful? That He's good? That He's willing to bless you? Not in some future date, but now. Psalm 27 and verse 13 declare to us. Psalm 27 and verse 13. Hear what the word of God says. He says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have fainted if I had not just believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have fainted. Who is this person that is believing to see the goodness of the Lord? The word of God says, they that wait upon the Lord shall have their strength renewed. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why? Because they know that goodness and mercy shall follow them all the days of their lives. Do you believe that good things and only good things are going to happen to you? He says it causes all things to work together for what? Good. Everything. So for the child of God who is eating from the fruit of goodness, when even bad things happen, he doesn't look at it like it's bad. He says something good is about to happen. God is bringing good out of this. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So when you see that everything that's happening in your life is goodness, you don't have the time to be mourning and grieving and crying your eyes out. All you want to do is feast. Hallelujah. We were studying that out from the book of Proverbs, last Bible study, about the child of God feasting continually. Feasting continually. Feasting continually. No place for the shame and defeat that the enemy thinks he's trying to bring into your life. You're feasting. You're celebrating. You're giving God thanks. Paul says, rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. Is somebody hearing? Are you listening? But are you hearing? That every day of your life is a day to celebrate. Because the heavens, even the heavens, they're declaring the glory of God. And the earth is resonating and declaring that same glory and speaking of the glory of God. What is this glory? The goodness of God. God wants you and I to experience Him in a very deliberate matter. In the book of Lamentations, it's a book of, like it says, Lamentations. The third chapter and the 25th verse, you will hear this. It says, the Lord is good unto them that what? Wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. That's a person that experiences this good. That you're waiting. How do you wait? By declaring and stay declaring what God's word says. Are not wavering on it because of what you see in the natural. You keep on saying what God said. He says, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Wait. Keep your mouth shut when your mouth wants to say or your heart wants to say something negative. Keep your mouth shut. And say only what is good. Amen? Your mouth, your tongue, is one of the most powerful agents in the world. Your mouth. Your mouth speaks what your heart is full of. what your mind is contemplating. But let me do an experiment with you just quickly. I'm going to have you say the name Jesus, but right now, I want you to be counting from the number 1 to 10. Go. No, don't say it. Just be counting. Jesus, what happened? What happened to your counting? You stopped. Yes? Okay. What's the point I'm trying to make? Your mouth, even though you were counting, when you spoke, you stopped counting. When the enemy is trying to invade your mind with his nonsense, guess what you need to do? Say something. But whatever it is that you say, be saying what is good, and it will shut the system. Did you get that? It will break it, and you have to deliberately try to go back to the counting. That means that you are coming to agreement with whatever it is that you are counting, whatever negative thought you are thinking. But if that's not what you want, say the name Jesus. Say something about the goodness of God, and it will cut it off, and now you have something else to focus your attention on. Can we do that? When your mind is thinking about all the evil stuff you want to do to that crazy husband or wife or that boy or that girl or that teacher or that child or whatever else, cut it off by saying things that have to do with God or goodness. A woman of God taught us many years ago. She was an expert. She trained about the brain and how the brain works. And in one of her teachings, she said there is something called the amygdala in your brain, and that thing kicks in and seizes control of your thinking. When you are angry, so you start saying all kinds of crazy things because it taps into memories and whatever, trauma or whatever else. She said, when you see somebody going berserk like that, he said, make a loud noise. Clap. It says a person will stop and they reset. That's what I just taught you in just a moment ago. Push the reset. Your thinking is going the wrong way. Push the reset. God is good. And I'll start thinking about the goodness of God and the awesomeness of God, and now your mind shifts completely. Rather than you feeding the flames of confusion and getting yourself all wound up and depressed and, you know, losing your mind and your focus and embracing misery, you have made a complete shift off. And you're thinking about the goodness of God. You're worshiping God. You're praising Him. So the Word of God says, count it all joy when you're going through diverse trials and temptations. Count it all joy. Get your escape route. Think about the goodness of God. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11, the Lord is teaching us about asking. He says, ask, seek, knock. And in verse 11, it says, if ye then being evil, present tense continuous, know how to give good gifts unto your children. You're evil, but you know how to give good gifts to your children. They don't come asking for an egg and you give them scorpions. It says, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Give what? Good what? Things. You know why many times we don't have the boldness to ask for good things? Because we don't think we deserve good things. And you know that you don't deserve good things when you see other people have good things and you are envious or jealous of them or critical, judging them. Hello? Because if you are the one blessed with that, you will not want them to poo-poo what you have. But because you don't think you deserve it, you don't think they deserve it. Oh, you say, no, I think I deserve it, but they don't deserve it. That's a lie. That's a cop-out. The reason you don't think they deserve it is because you don't think good things belong to them. And if you trace that same thinking, you end up in the place where you don't think you deserve it. It's too good. Nobody should have enjoy life like that. Huh? Why should they be enjoying life like that? Nobody deserves that. Nobody's worthy of that. No, not when you see yourself created in the image and the likeness of God, you say, this is good, but there is better. Amen? Praise the Lord. I don't have to drive a jalopy like Flintstone. No, I should have the best. Who does he think he is? Driving that kind of a car. Who does he think he is in that nice house? Well, you must not think that you are good enough to have that either. As a man thinketh, so is he. As a man thinketh, so is he. You are thinking, who is he to deserve that? So are you. You don't deserve it. Because if you believe that they deserve it and you really know that, you will celebrate with them. Wow, thank God for what he has done for you. And like one of the daughters in this house always says, me too. I thank God he has blessed you. I want mine now. Is that not what our children do? We give one child something, the other one wants this. Let me dare go to my grandkids now, and one has a birthday, and I give them a nice birthday gift, and I don't have something for the one that's not having the birthday. Let's see how well we shall do. It's not my birthday, but that's the life of children. And God says, you got to be like little children if you're going to experience the kingdom of God. Me too. God, you bless my brother. Me too. Lord, they have a testimony. Me too. I celebrate what you've done for them. I want some of that too. Hallelujah. the goodness of God. Hear what Paul says about this goodness of God in Romans 2 and verse 4. Romans 2 and verse 4. Where does this time go all the time? He says, let's take it off from verse 3 actually. Let's find out what this purpose of goodness is. He says, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his what? Of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God, what? Leadeth thee to what? To repentance. The goodness of God is supposed to lead you to repentance. The forgiveness of God should lead you to repentance. The mercies of God should lead you to repentance. The favor of God should lead you to repentance. God, look at me. I'm such a mess up, but you've loved me to do this for me. Help me to do right. Forgive me. The wrath of God, or the wrath of man, worketh not the righteousness of God. You want change in people. You don't accomplish it by bringing a sledgehammer over their head. You know, sometimes people deserve that, but but showing mercy and pointing them towards the direction God will want them to do. And being long-suffering, the Word of God says, it's right there. And long-suffering, forbearance, that will keep you calm rather boiling all the time. And that brings about change, brings about restoration, brings about the manifestation of the goodness of God. Do you hear it? The Bible says in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, it says that Jesus was anointed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about what? Doing good. The anointing was for what? Doing good. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God was with him. That's why he was doing good. People who have God in their lives do good. They bring about change in the lives of those that they come in contact with. Has my life brought any change to you? Has your life brought change to me? Has my life brought good to you, and has your life brought good to me? The amount of good is determined by my interest in making certain that life is easier for you, and you making certain that life is easier for me. Praise the Lord. Are we together? But what if we reject good that is presented to us? What happens then? The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 13 the kind of things that happen when we reject the goodness of God. When good is brought to us and we return evil for that good, which was what the devil did, which was what God did not want man to experience. The word of God says, whoso rewarded evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. Wow. If good is brought to you and what you return back is evil, God says, evil shall not depart from that person's house. Can you imagine? That there are certain things you cannot pray away. You cannot pray it away. Evil comes to your house. And you say, I'm going to fast for 40 days and it's going to get away. I'm going to have this man of God come lay hands on me and deliver me from this evil. It's not going anywhere. Why? Because you have to repent for rewarding somebody who gave you good and you reversed it and gave them evil. You sowed evil in a good soil. Hello? When people do good to you, don't pay them back with evil. That evil will last in your generations and go on for generations. That's why God calls us to repentance. The glory of God is all that God is. It is a manifestation of the presence of God. It is a manifestation of the power of God. It is a manifestation of the goodness of God, the glory of God. That's what you and I need. That's what must prosper in our lives. Do you receive that? And I wrap up quickly with this two passages of scripture. Philippians 1 and verse 6. We have to be confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in every one of us will what? Perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Be confident of that. That God has begun a good work in you. And the beginning of that good work was when he brought you to salvation. When you became reborn. And from that very moment, you and I must turn away from the evil and only see the good and the merciful. Did you hear that? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Bow your heads with me as we read Philippians 3:10. Father, I thank you for your word to us. Today, I ask that just like Paul did, having served and worshipped you and followed your directives, he cried out and said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Today, we die and we come alive with a life that you give to us. We want to know you. We want to behold you and walk in the fullness of life that only you give. We receive life everlasting in Jesus' mighty name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for the privilege of experiencing him together with you this beautiful day that the Lord God Almighty has made for you and I to rejoice and be glad. May his peace garrison our hearts, and may we know good success all of our days as we live the good God life together. Amen. Praise God.